Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
In the 40s, it was James, Robert, John, William, Richard. For the ladies, it was Mary, Linda, Barbara, Patricia, and Carol. In the 50s, it was James, Michael, Robert, John, David. For the ladies, it was Mary, Linda, Patricia, Susan, Deborah. Again, some change, not much. The 60s, Michael, David, John, James, Robert. The ladies, Lisa, Mary, Susan, Karen, Kimberly. The 70s, Michael, Joseph, Jason, David, James. Ladies, Jennifer, Amy, Melissa, Michelle, Kimberly. In the 80s, Michael, Christopher, Matthew, Joshua, David. The ladies, Jessica, Jennifer, Amanda, Ashley, Sarah. In the 90s, the men were Michael, Christopher, Matthew, Joshua, David. The ladies, Jessica, Ashley, Emily, Sarah, Samantha. The 2000s, Jacob, Michael, Joshua, Matthew, Daniel. The ladies, Emily, Madison, Emma, Olivia, Hannah. Recently, 2024 to 2025, it was James, Michael, John, Robert, David. The ladies, Mary, Patricia, Jennifer, Linda, Elizabeth. This is according to Social Security birth certificates. Now, some of the weirder names that came along were these. Doo-doo. Party with an I. COVID, must have been during the pandemic. Hellzell. Marijuana Pepsi. Sip. Zeppelin. They like Led Zeppelin. Some of the Hollywood stars, some of their names. Apple. Audio Science. Blue Ivy. Pilot Inspector. Rise Messiah. Here's some other goofy ones. Lordona. Romance. Starlet. Diva Muffin. Nymphy. Brian, did you get any ideas there? Diva Muffin? Yes. Wait for this one. Ready? This is all one name. Tulia does the hula from Hawaii. They found her parents not able to take care of her. She became ward of the state, and the state allowed her to change her name at 9. But what's in a name? You have a name? Well, that's what we're going to do. This part right here of Scripture, we're going to go through some names. So if you would, stand for the reading of the Word of God. Starting at verse 21. Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, Sosipater, my countrymen, greet you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church, greet you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greet you. And Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And I know what you're thinking. What are you going to get out of this? You watch. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time that we can get into your word. My prayer is for each of us is that we would understand something so important today for our faith is that you know our names. Bless this time, Father, we pray. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The first name we come across is Timothy. Well, we know who Timothy, Paul's protege, fellow worker, You know, he's mentioned 28 times in the Bible. You know what his name means? Honoring God. The next name we come to is Lucius. Now, he could have been the prophet teacher in Acts 13, but a variation of his name is Lucas, so it could be actually Luke, the author of the book Luke and Acts. We don't know for sure, but his name means light. Jason, this could be, again, this host of Paul and Silas in Thessalonica, whose house was attacked by the Jews. Himself, he was arrested. We find this in Acts chapter 17. What does his name mean? One who will heal. Next one we come to is Sosipater. Believed to be Sosipater, mentioned in Acts 24, who accompanied Paul to Asia. Says he's my countryman, kin, so he could have been a Benjamite, or he could have been a blood relative. We don't know. What does his name mean, you ask? Thank you for asking. His name means Savior of his father. Gaius. His name's mentioned five times. If it's the same one, it's the host of Paul and maybe a church. He must have been a wealthy, well-known man. His name means Lord. Now, when we read those names, you think automatically, man, these are just names that go into the hall of faith. Extraordinary men. Men whose names will throughout eternity will be associated with the Word of God. The names, again, are so great that you probably knew each one of them. But if you notice, I left out two, and I did it on purpose. Their names were Tertius and Quartus. They're Roman names. And what makes them very fascinating, though we see that Tertius was the one that was being dictated to, so he was writing this down. But see, being a Roman his name means third or three. Quartus, my brother, his name means fourth or number four. Tertius is three, Quartus is four. Why is that significant? Because in this day and age, when you had Roman slaves birthed into your house, many times you wouldn't give them a name, you would give them a number. Or they would inherit that number by importance. But that's what they would be known for. Now, I grew up not as a big family as Caleb's family there, but we had a family of five, and my dad was very good at forgetting our names at the moment. So a lot of times he would go through the list of names, and then he would call us either Clyde, or he at least remember the number child we were. Of course, I was number four. Number four, get over here. Now, to know that by a number, again, many people feel like, again, they are a number. Do you feel that way this morning? Relatively unknown? It's not like your name's up on lights. It's not like you're running chasing a baseball or a basketball or a football with your name on your back. Does anybody really know who you are? Because see, that's what a name implies in some ways. Part of it is your identity. Oh, you probably don't want it to be, especially if you don't like your name. And maybe that's the reason why you don't like your name is just because it conjures up certain things in your mind. But see, a name is important because it does associate with who you are. Not necessarily and determines who you are. It expresses who you are. Meaning, if we were to just pull out some names, if we just, again, mentioned Caleb, we would think, again, a leader. We would think of somebody that's leading us in worship. If we said Selah, we would think music right away. She's part of a song, if you will. Michael, we think all of a sudden is a big giant who can beat you to a pulp but is gentle as a flower. So see, names mean something. Your name means something. The question is does God really know your name? Does he really know you? Well, I hope after we get done this morning, you will have no doubts. Now, I'm going to go through some scriptures here and I'll tell you what they are. I'm starting off in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says this, Listen now. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called on the name of the Lord, then you are saved. Galatians 4:9 says, but now, after you have known God, listen to this, or rather are known by God. See, when you came to faith, God already knew you. Now you've come to know Him. Jesus put it this way, you didn't choose me, I chose you. You don't think that He was speaking of you? You go, no, He's speaking of His disciples. Oh yeah? Well, let's get to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. You were chosen before He created anything. Now, what does that mean? We're not going to play with that today. Let's just understand that God is all-knowing. Let me say that again. God is all-knowing. He knows everything. And we'll talk about that in a second. Now, knowing that He knows me, listen to what Timothy says, or Paul says to Timothy. He said, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. See, that word solid means strong, firm, immovable. Stands, it means fixed, established. That word seal, it means ownership or authenticity. Or just to put it bluntly, the name of God in Christ is stamped on our foreheads. It's saying, you are mine, no touchy. The spiritual realm knows this more than we do, that we can ever understand. That when you walk into a room, your light is shining, but it's not your light, it's Him who is in you. And the enemy knows, uh-oh. If we would only understand the authority that is given to us, not because of who we are, but because of whose we are, I think we would start seeing life totally different than we do. For most of us feel weak, omnipotent, powerless. Do you feel that way? You still think, wow, does He really know me? Does He understand me? Listen to what David said. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You have known my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and You are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain it. Or if you will, listen to the words of Jesus. He says, He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens up, and the sheep hear His voice. And He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. Further in that chapter, He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. They follow me and I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. How secure do you feel this morning? Now, what about your name, though? What significance does it have at this moment? Well, let me put it this way. Jesus says, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Paul put it this way. Rest the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. What does that mean to you and me? You ever go to a place of like a wedding reception, and they have a board, your name, and you're supposed to have a table? If you ever go to a wedding reception, you go to the board and your name's not up there? happened to me one time with my wife. I didn't know the party very well. And I said, oh, I guess we're not invited. I guess we can go. She says, of course. She goes to the host, asks where we're supposed to sit, and then she finds our seat. That's my wife. In heaven, your name is written there by the hand of God. And just as you as a parent, just as we started this, can think of each of your children and think of their name, you think of that person. Each one of you are precious in His sight. Each one of you knows your name. He knows everything about you. And the miracle of all miracles, He still loves you, even though He knows you better than you know yourself. I thank God for that. It's not based on how I feel about myself. It's based on what? The truth that we just read. This is a solid, immovable foundation. It's fixed. It's established. You're sealed. His name is tattooed on your forehead. He declares you are mine. Nobody, nothing, no circumstance, no situation, no spiritual battle, no struggles physically, nothing can separate you from my hand nor my love. Now, I know we read this a lot because a lot of times what we do is we forget about these things. You are so loved. You are so secure that if you understood this, if I understood this, we would be more bold as lions, not in a prideful way again, but an understanding that we belong to God. Belong to Him. But if that wasn't good enough, if that wasn't enough for you, listen to what Malachi 3:16 says. Those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. What does that mean to you and me? Please listen. God is making a scrapbook for you. Each one of you has a scrapbook, again, in our layman's understanding of this, of you. My wife right now, she's going through all these different things, photographs and scrapbooks and all these things, because we're trying to get rid of things. Not the scrap, but just going through stuff. And I hear her down there. Oh, ooh, ah, ee, ah, ooh, ah, ee. Luke, come down here. Go down there and she shows me something. Isn't it looking so? Look what he said. Oh, let's look at this precious. Oh, look at this picture. Constant. Can you imagine God doing that? Did you catch that? When you're speaking about Him, you've discovered this. I know you have. When you talk about God, especially with another brother or sister, you sense His presence there, don't you? And you're like, wow, this is cool. It's because He's taking note of it. He's pleased when His children talk about Him. Because just as we're doing, we're putting Him in His proper place. He's God. And the amazing thing is that He loves us. A reverence for who He is. Which helps us, what? Worship. Have you discovered that? I know you have. When you come in here, you ever wonder why we do what we do here? I know we're not tradition here. But what we try to do is open up and make it available to you and to us to worship. Because when we worship, guess what? Our minds aren't on ourselves. It's not on our circumstances. It's not on our problems. It's not on Junior, who's just a pain in the rumpus at this moment. No, what it is, it's on our Father, our Heavenly Father, that has put His name upon us and said, look, if you look to me, you're going to begin to understand how much I love you and how great I am. And in that, knowing that you belong to me. Now you think about that. What's more important than anything else? See, some people come from families that, let's face it, just like the hula girl I spoke of earlier, that they wish they didn't grow up in that family. And I'm sure Marijuana Pepsi is having a hard time right now. Hopefully he's not following his namesake, but what he's doing is he's changing his life. But a lot of us want to separate from those families because we think that's the problem. But see, now the reality in Christ is you're in a new family. Whether it was good or bad, that doesn't really matter. Because it matters about you. Are you in the family? If you're in the family, you got God on your side. God is with you. God's going to make it, help you make it through. God's going to help you grow into the person that you were always meant to be. Your home. Have you discovered that? I hope so. And I know you're saying, man, you don't know the struggles I go through. You don't know the heartache I've been through. No, maybe I don't, but you know what? Let's go on. Psalm 56:8. Please take note of this. You number my wanderings. You put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? Takes into account my wanderings. He understands. Many times, I don't know where I'm going. He understands sometimes I'm going the wrong way because I'm focused on me many times. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And yet we understand something. God says, I never leave you. Even when you're going through what you think is a wilderness experience, don't worry about it. Keep your eyes on me. You're going to make it through because I lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. Keep your eyes on me and then you'll see me clear. And then when you see me clear, the struggles and the tribulations and the problems that go, that you arise in your life mean nothing. But just my instruments to teach, to help you grow. To help you see me clear so that you will speak of me. Not that I need that. You do. Because then you see me clear. My presence is known. Tears in a bottle. That's kind of an interesting concept, isn't it? Every tear you've ever shed or ever will shed, He collects in a bottle. So when you get to heaven, will you see the scrapbook? Will you see the bottle next to it? Will you realize, oh, Lord God, why was I so worried? To see, we have a high priest who can sympathize with us, with our weaknesses. Why? Because he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. He understands the human condition. He understands the struggles and the tribulations. He understands, and he, like I said before, he's the good shepherd that walks us through. Leading us to the greener pastures, still waters, through the valley of the shadow of death. But He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemy. Picture that, the struggle, the chaos all around, and you're sitting there at a table, if you will, with God's presence there. Everything's going to be all right. Everything is working out according to his purpose. And if that was the end of the message, that'd be enough. But in Revelation, we hear something else. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name, written which no one knows except him who receives it. You don't like your name? Don't worry about it. See, when it says hidden manna, that means what you truly long for. What you're longing for, what you think is that driving force, that whatever it is, whether you want something, that you need something, you think, that you desire something, there's something deep in each of us, and really what it is that desire to be known and to know, to be at peace, to be at rest, to belong. To not feel so awkward in your own skin. To feel loved, appreciated. God says, I will give you that hidden manna, that which you really desire deep in your soul, and you will be satisfied. That white stone. See, it was given to, if you will, an athlete when he won an event. And see, the white stone was admission into the celebration of the victorious party. The white stone he's speaking of here is saying you are now innocent in your admission into heaven. And my Father's banquet eating table, as we sing, you belong here. But if that wasn't enough, you've been given a new name, which no one knows except you. Now, I don't think that means that nobody else will know you by that name, but nobody will understand fully why you've been given that name. Except you. And the one who gave it to you. Can you imagine him calling you by that name? To think he sings over us. Think that he cares that much for us. To think that he desires for us to get out of the darkness that we can put upon ourselves. And just rejoice in the fact, no matter what, that you're His. And if you will, actually, like we've talked about before, we are just pilgrims here walking through this valley. We're going home. Where you belong. John in his epistle says these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son, God, that you may know without a doubt that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And the last thing I'll leave you with, what the writer of Hebrews says, of knowing these things, of everything we just talked about, that you belong to Him, you belong in His presence, you belong speaking of Him, you belong worshiping Him, you belong in His love. You belong. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And, if you will, how Paul, again, leaves this one little portion and will continue on to the next. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So be it. So it is done. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that each one of us, Lord, would just raise our eyes up into the throne room, the one who's done it all for us. The preciousness of your name has given us the right to be called children of God because of what you have done. You understand us. You know everything about us. I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning who may be struggling with doubt or fear, confusion, struggles, whatever it is that are going through, their own health. Help them to understand of your love for them this morning and your understanding of everything that they're going through. That nothing is lost with you. That what you're doing is something we'll never understand. And yet still, in this place we call life, you're making a scrapbook for each of us. A scrapbook that's made with loving hands. Scrapbook that reflects your care, your love. Understanding again, once again, that we've been declared innocent and we belong only because we had our eyes open. And we saw the one that was looking back at us. To all who will enter in. Blessed Lord, blessed Savior, bless this day. And it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.